have one verse. I want to have several verses. If you want to write these verses down, you can before we get going. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Numbers chapter 30. Deuteronomy 23, 21 and 23 through 23.
Deuteronomy 23. Is that chapter?
Yep, chapter 23, verse 21 through 23.
Okay.
We'll be, and then Proverbs 20, 25. I told you I'm going to be jumping around. Judges chapter 11, verse 29 and following. Judges 11.
Oh.
29. And then the last one is Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37. All right.
Matthew what?
5, 33 through 37. You guys get all those?
Yep.
All right. So what I'm going to talk about tonight is a vow. I think we all have been married besides Jaron. And at the altar, you had vows to one another, right? And so this is, I was in prayer, and this is where God led me, is that because sometimes we look at vows and we don't know what they really, what it means to take a vow or tell a vow. Not vows, but vow, V-O-W. It means to declare. That's the basic form of a vow. I declare. And so to give, consecrate, or dedicate to God, or to some deity by solemn promise, to devote, to promise solemnly. And so in other words, the religious form of this would be, I'm going to take a vow of celibacy. All right? And so that means you're telling God, I'm not going to sleep around with anybody, I'm going to be a celibate all my life. So that would be a vow. Another vow says, Lord, I'm going to take a vow. I'm never going to eat ice cream ever again. Or there's a Nazarite vow, which means they would never drink anything fermented, eat anything of, dead animals-ish, and then also would never shave or cut hair. Would be a Nazarite vow. That's what they would take. And so, what about in 2025? Because it's our words should be a vow to God. And that's what God's been harping on me in a good way of making sure what I say, I believe, two, that it's positive. He's been dealing me with, and we talked about that a little bit before y'all got here. And so, a vow is a solemn promise or a commitment made by an individual. It is often associated with significant contexts such as a religious ceremonies or a personal commitment. Typically involves a pledge to perform a specific act or to abstain from certain behaviors. During Lent season, people will take a vow of I'm not going to smoke, or I'm not going to drink, or I'm not going to eat any meat unless it's Friday, and then I'm going to eat fish.
No.
Which I don't understand, because I didn't grow up in that culture. But I'm like, if I'm going to eat meat, it's not going to be fish. I mean, give me a steak, you know, something that's more yummy. And then vows are voluntarily promise made to God or to others. So a vow is a promise either to God or to others, and it's a volunteer. Somebody cannot make you take a vow, because then it's not a vow. It's a volunteer thing. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 5, let me turn there, it talks about the vows. I had it marked. Oh, I think I went the wrong way. There we go. Ecclesiastes. It's right after Proverbs.
Okay.
It talks about as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut.
What verse are you on?
Verse 1, 5:1. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Verse 2, do not make a rash promise or a vow. Promises in my translation means vow.
Yeah.
And don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. And then it goes on, the whole chapter is talking about making this vow. Vows are serious to God. And that's the reason why marriage, what do you do in marriage? You stand up before all these people, or maybe there's only a handful of people, and say, I vow my life to this person. Have you ever noticed what the vows say? I mean, the typical one? For better or worse? I mean, I get that you want to be with them with thick and thin. But shouldn't there be something better than seeing worse? Because I think our God wants us to be better and better and better. Yeah, I understand. We live in a fallen world and bad things are going to happen. But wouldn't it be better? Hey, I want to be with you no matter where God leads us and where God's taken us. Wouldn't that be a better vow than sickness and health? Because when we say things in a positive way, it changes our mindset. And so when we take a vow, they're serious to God. When I stood up before all these people and made a vow to my wife, it wasn't just for I can say, oh, look at me, I'm getting married. I stood and said, hey, I'm making this a serious commitment. And so Ecclesiastes talks about having vows, about that. And when verse 4, when you make a promise to God, when you make a vow to God, do not delay in knowing and following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all promises you make to him. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Don't let your mouth make you sin. And don't be defended. Don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That would make God angry. And he might wipe out everything you have achieved. Talk is cheap, like daydreams, and other useless. Fear God instead. So when we make a vow to God, he expects us to do our part. I mean, he understands if something comes up. But to say, oh yeah, I'm going to give a faith promise for this next year for missions, and the thing about it, it's, with that, you only keep it for 2 months. God wants you to keep your promises. Because when you vow to God, he'll do his part to make sure you be able to carry it out. So then, in Numbers 30, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Genesis 30, and now it talks about the whole chapter. We won't read the whole chapter. It talks about laws concerning vows. We'll pick it up here. Verse 1. Then Moses summoned the leaders of the tribes of Israel and told them, this is what the Lord has commanded. A man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a pledge under oath must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do. Kind of serious. And then he goes on, if a young woman makes a vow to the Lord, and she lives in the house, and her dad hears about it, and he doesn't agree with it, he can come in and says, you're not going to do it. But if he agrees with it, she has to carry it out. And then If a wife makes, and now she gets married, and her husband finds out about this vow, and he doesn't agree with it, he can come to her and say, hey, this is not allowed. And she's no longer held to it. I'm just reading what it says. And then if she is married, for example, if my wife says, hey, I want to take a vow of never eating, never drinking water ever again. I'd be like, I don't think that's good for you. That's not good. But if I say, okay, that's fine, now she has to keep it. And so a vow that when the parent or the authority in the house says, hey, I don't think that's good, you don't have to do it, it's because the age has wisdom. And then with the, as in marriage, the head of the house should, is the guy. And the guy should love his wife like Christ loves the church. And if that's the case, that he knows what would be best for the situation. I don't think my wife has taken a vow of no water. She has her water right there. And so the Bible emphasizes the importance of fulfilling vows made to God, stating that it is better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not pay for it, than pay. All right, then in Deuteronomy 23:21-23, go back a couple, Genesis, Exodus, number, Deuteronomy, go forward, 23:21. The Bible emphasizes that when you make a vow, you must fulfill it. Delaying or failing to pay a vow is considered sinful. Verse 23-23 says, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promise to him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill your vows, or you will be guilty of sin. However, it is not a sin to refrain from making a vow. But once you have voluntarily made a vow, be careful to fulfill your promise to the Lord your God. In other words, and is there grace with God? Yes. Is it sin to say, Lord, I'm going to go and do six sit-ups. I'm vowed to do six sit-ups each day for the next 6 days. Well, he expects you to just get down on the floor right then and there and start doing them, at least six of them. Then every morning, get up and do six more of them. I'm using these weird examples for on a purpose. But what if you miss a day? You can say, hey, God, forgive me, I missed a day. And he's gracious to forgive you. And so just because it's a sin, he gives you grace when he realizes, oh, man, I messed that up. And so it's better to say, hey, I'm going to do my best to do this. So there's a story. I don't want to go there yet. There's consequences in breaking our vows. There is God's forgiveness. Proverbs 20:25. I'm not sure if I said that at the beginning. States this. Proverbs 20:25. States this. Despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. Nope, that's not it. That's wrong one. That has nothing to do with a vow. Okay, here we go. Verse 20:25. I was like, where is this going, Lord? This does not look like... Don't trap yourself by making a rash promise to God, only later counting the cost. Count the cost before you make a vow. Like every January, I make a vow not to eat for at least 21 days. I count the cost of not eating. I count the cost of cooking food, smelling food, sitting at the table with my family, watching them eat while I just drink water. I count the cost. Are you willing to count the cost before you make the vow? And there's a story about a gentleman in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, chapter 11, verse 29, I'm just going to talk about it. There's a gentleman named Japheth. He went out to war. He was a they anointed him a judge, and he went out to war, and he goes, Lord, if you give me great victory, whatever comes out to greet me, I will sacrifice to you. So I was like, hey, Lord, I'm going to give whatever comes out to greet me, I'm going to give it to you. It's yours, I'm going to sacrifice it. So they got great victory. Guess who comes out? His daughter. His daughter comes out. He made a vow to God, whoever comes out the front door first. And God now is wondering, is he going to keep it? Could you do that? I'll be like texting my wife, don't come out of the house first. Send one of those ugly looking red bugs that attack our house every fall and spring. Send one of those. Let me come in the house first. But that's because he made a vow without knowing the future. And that's the reason why it says there is no idle words that you speak. Every word you speak, there's power, authority, life, or death in it. And so guess what? She comes out. He starts bawling like a baby. And she goes, Dad. Okay, I'm paraphrasing this. Dad, what did you do? Well, I made this vow. Well, we got to keep it. They don't know what really happened to her. Well, there's for the month or so, she went out and traveled to be with her family or be with her friends to enjoy life. And then she came back, but never said that he sacrificed her. Many scholars believe that she never got married. And she had to live as a widow, or not as a widow, but as an orphan by herself.
It's not like he sacrificed her then. Even as a virgin?
Yeah, as a virgin. She lived her life as a virgin, but never had contact with any men. That's what some scholars believe. Some scholars believe that he did actually sacrifice her. And so, because he had to keep his vow. And in our minds, in our country, in our things like, I wouldn't do that. Well, then you'd be breaking your promise to God. That's the reason why it's really important when you go home tonight, whoever comes out your door to greet you, don't say, I'm going to sacrifice them. Unless you really want to sacrifice them. And so that truly took place. And then Jesus talks about vows in the New Testament. Matthew 5. We'll wrap up here. Where he states this. 33 through 37. It goes, here he is teaching about vows. You have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Don't say, by heaven, because of heaven is God's throne. And do not say, by earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Verse 36, and do not even say by my head, for you cannot turn one hair white or black. Just simply say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. In other words, just say yes or no and keep your word. Don't say I vow or I promise. Because if you make a promise, let's say, hey, I promise that this weekend we'll go have a picnic. What if it rains all weekend? You're going to have to break that promise. And so that's the reason why it's really important for us as believers that we'll say, yeah, let's do a picnic. Let's set a time, see if it works out or not. That's not making a vow. That's saying, hey, let's plan for a picnic. Let's get it. Besides saying, oh yeah, no problem. And even James says, you don't know, if you say, hey, I'll be there next year, but you don't know what's going to take place between now and the end of this year. So it's hard. You can say, hey, we're planning on doing this, but you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't even know what tonight holds. I mean, really think about it. Gary Landers just passed away just under 2 weeks now. When I saw him on Tuesday, he was making plans to go back to the nursing home and continue to live. Well, within 24 hours, he was back in the hospital with a blood infection. And then, 2 days later, he's with Jesus. And so we really don't know. And the cool thing about it, he didn't suffer. I mean, he suffered some, but other people suffered a lot more. And so when James talks about that, hey, you know, you don't know. And God says, hey, you can make plans, but I'm going to order your steps. God says, hey, I know the days of your life. I have them ordered. So don't worry about, well, I might die early. Why confess that over your life? I heard this preacher preach one time. He goes, he knew a gentleman and says, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to die at age 33. That was his confession over and over and over. Guess what year he died? He was 33 years old. What if God wanted him to live longer? You know? Sometimes what we confess, we got to be careful. You know, I love greeting Gary. How you doing, Gary? How you doing?
Absolutely fantastic.
Isn't that great to hear? Isn't that better than, well, you know, my bunions on my elbow are bugging me once again. Zap those bunions. You know, my onions on my earlobes are bugging me again.
My highly favored.
Yes. Claim those things. We're working on some I ams and words like that that I know Denise handed out to some of y'all in the past, but we're going to rehand them out because God's taken me deep into this. Speaking positively, thinking positively. You know, and guess what? Since January, people said, well, you've given that up. No, I chose to lay it down for something greater. I can easily go pick up a spoon and eat a scoop of ice cream. But I choose not to. And I'm not depriving myself. I'm actually saying, I'm going to get to a goal where I'm headed. I got 30 miles in one day I get to run. And guess what? Ice cream's not on the training list. Am I counting the sacrifice? Yeah. I put 7.5 miles in yesterday. And a little dog in a van tried to eat me. Thought it was a little chicken.
Was that Harry?
Yes. Cute little dog-ish. And so, I want to, I mean, as we go forward, even how we pray. Are we confessing good things? Are we confessing, oh, Lord, they're so whatever, and, you know. No, confess. Lord, you got them right where they're at. I thank you that you're moving in their behalf. You might not see it yet, but that takes faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. And when you pray in faith, when you pray, when you declare, I'm highly blessed and favored, one of my prayers, and I still pray for my kids, is that they be favored. You don't know, every musical instrument we have in the house has been gifted to them. Every single one. The piano, someone helped us buy, but it was still gifted. I'm telling you, That's highly favored because those instruments aren't cheap. You know, favor comes through prayer and hard work and walking with Jesus. Declare favor. I mean, go to the store and say, Lord, I declare favor with these prices. Everybody's paying too much for it. I just think that stuff is going to be on sale that's in my size. Where am I going to find tennis shoes that fit my son? I thank you for that, Lord. He wears size, what, 13s? 14s. Yeah.
See, he...
But, totally off the subject, is it? There's a gentleman that plays college basketball. He's 7'9". 7'9". Talking about some big shoes to fill. But, so, even when in your frustration, even when you're hurting, even these different things, you can still, you ever been having one of those days you just wake up, you feel like you woke up on the wrong side of the bed? Guess what? You can still confess positive stuff. Thank you, Lord, I'm alive.
What were those three things with Jared? I'm awake, I'm
alive.
Oh, yeah.
Confess it. You know, you feel like you're not moving forward? Say, Lord, I'm taking new ground. Lord, I'm seeing people saved. I'm believing for this. These people, they don't have control of me. You do. And I speak to my mind, everything wicked and whatever's going on up here, I declare it's gone in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as I vow my life to you, see, we make a commitment to God. Hey, I want to follow you no matter where you go. I've been in some places, I'm like, how did I get myself in here? The Lord goes, you followed me. And so, I just want to encourage us tonight that with those words, I know it's a little bit longer than normal, but I just